This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Unchange my dead heart. Make me alive again. Give me a fresh start. So change my heart, please. Wash the filth away. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode of The Power of Dhikr. We've looked at the virtue, or we've looked at some of the virtues of the four phrases that every Muslim is commanded to frequent in his dhikr. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. And inshaAllah ta'ala, today in this episode, we're going to look at some of the meanings of these words. What does it mean for us to say Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, and Allahu Akbar? Let's begin by looking at the word or the phrase which enters a person into Islam. La ilaha illallah. Let's look at what it means to say La ilaha illallah. What La ilaha illallah actually contains, and then some of the meanings which are contained within La ilaha illallah. Because by doing this, inshaAllah ta'ala, we will develop an understanding for what it is and why it's so important for us to frequently say La ilaha illallah in our dhikr. There are many, many virtues of La ilaha illallah, and in fact their virtues are too many to mention. But in this episode, inshallah, we want to just focus upon the meaning of La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah is made up of four words. The first is La, followed by ilaha, followed by illa, followed by lafzul jalala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, La ilaha illallah. La, of course, in Arabic means no. Illa means except. And Allah Azza wa Jal means, of course, Allah. So what does this word ilah mean? This word ilah, very, very, very clearly in the Quran and in the Arabic language, refers to that which is worshipped. Anything which is worshipped. Now, if you imagine all of the different things that are worshipped, the stars are worshipped, the sun is worshipped, the moon is worshipped, idols are worshipped, trees are worshipped, angels are worshipped, graves are worshipped, stones are worshipped. Many, many, many different things are worshipped besides Allah. The pious are worshipped, the living and the dead. The leaders of the church and of the synagogues were worshipped besides Allah. The people who passed away, who were the pious people, were worshipped besides Allah. And so on and so forth. Many, many, many things. The prophets, the angels, many, many, many things were worshipped besides Allah. And all of these, when they are worshipped besides Allah, anything which is worshipped is called an ilah. Now, the statement therefore, la ilah, means that there is no God. There is no God. Illallah, except for Allah. So there is no object of worship except for Allah. So in the first part of la ilaha illallah, we negate everything that is worshipped besides Allah. We say, we as a Muslim are going to make this statement to you, that we deny and we reject and we disbelieve in every single thing that is worshipped besides Allah. So if you worship a prophet, we don't accept it. If you worship an angel, we don't accept it. If you worship the sun, we don't accept it. If you worship the moon, we don't accept it. If you worship the stars or the trees or the graves, or you worship the animals, or you worship whatever it is that you worship, if it's anything which is worshipped besides Allah, we disbelieve in this worship of yours. But not only do we disbelieve in it, because if we disbelieved in all worship, we would be atheist. We wouldn't believe in anything. Illallah, except Allah. So not only do we disbelieve in all of the worship that is done to other than Allah, but we worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone, and we don't worship anyone besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is the only one that we worship subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we deny the worship of everything else and we affirm His worship. If we deny worship and we don't affirm His worship, then that means we're atheist. If we affirm His worship and we don't deny the worship of other things, that makes us a polytheist. That makes us polytheists, people who worship others besides Allah. Because of course, Quraysh, The people of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they used to worship Allah. وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ مَنْ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَيَقُولُنَّ اللَّهِ. If you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they will say Allah. Allah created the heavens and the earth. They used to worship Allah. They used to perform the Hajj. But they didn't used to worship Allah alone. Alone. So this is why we, not only do we disbelieve in everything that is worshipped besides Allah, but we worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone. So we have two parts. We deny everything that is worshipped besides Allah, and we worship Allah alone. But there's something else. This statement, La ilaha illallah, if we say there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, then this statement doesn't ring true. It doesn't ring true in reality, because in reality there are lots of things that are worshipped besides Allah. People worship all kinds of things. So we need to understand something. And that is, we need to understand in truth, or truthfully, or deservedly. Nothing is truthfully worshipped besides Allah. Nothing should be worshipped besides Allah. Nothing deserves to be worshipped besides Allah. So there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. That is our understanding of La ilaha illallah. Of course, that's how a person enters into Islam. And La ilaha illallah, it's not a dhikr that you just say, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. It's something that you live. And that's because La ilaha illallah, it has conditions. The first condition of La ilaha illallah is al-ilm, knowledge. You have to know what it means. You can't just say La ilaha illallah. Like some of the du'at, some of the people who call people to Islam, what they used to do is just to go up to somebody and say to them, say La ilaha illallah. And the person doesn't know what it means. Just says, okay, La ilaha illallah. I say, congratulations, you've become a Muslim. No, you haven't become a Muslim. You haven't, because you can't become a Muslim until you know what La ilaha illallah actually means. You understand the implications of La ilaha illallah. The next condition of La ilaha illallah is al-yaqeen. That you are certain about it. You can't say La ilaha illallah to hedge your bets. That, you know, like, oh, I'll say La ilaha illallah. If it's true, alhamdulillah. If it's not true, I don't lose anything out. You have to be certain about it. You have to accept it. You have to have al-qabool. You have to accept what it entails. You can't just simply say La ilaha illallah and then continue to worship idols and to believe that Isa is the son of Allah and to believe that all of the things that the people believe. You can't do that. When you say La ilaha illallah, you have to accept what that it's going to entail, that you leave everything that is worship besides Allah and you worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone. So you have to have knowledge, you have to have certainty, you have to have acceptance. You have to submit yourself to Allah and to His laws. This is what we call al-inqiyad. You have to submit yourself to Allah and to His laws, and that's what a Muslim is. From aslama yuslimu islaman, somebody who submits themselves, surrenders themselves to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the meaning of Islam. So you submit yourself and you surrender yourself to Allah, to the laws of Allah, to what Allah has declared to be halal, to what Allah has declared to be haram. You submit yourself to the religion of Allah, because you recognize that once you know and you have certainty and you accept the meaning of La ilaha illallah, you must submit yourself to that. And you must submit yourself to the religion of Islam and to enter it. And there is no religion which is acceptable to Allah. Inna ad-deena 'inda Allahi al-Islam. The religion which is acceptable to Allah is Islam. There is no other religion which is acceptable to Allah other than Islam. Allah will not accept any other religion from anyone. After the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah will only accept the religion of Islam. That's it. So you submit. And then you have to have truthfulness. You have to be truthful in what you say. The munafiqun, the hypocrites, they used to say La ilaha illallah. They used to say La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah. But when they said it, they were lying about what they meant. So they actually kept disbelief inside of their hearts and they assured belief on their actions and their tongue, but inside of the heart there was no belief. So you have to be truthful. When you say La ilaha illallah, you can't say it because you want to achieve something from the dunya or because of it. Has to be truthful. And you have to be sincere. You have to have ikhlas. And that means you can't say La ilaha illallah because it's going to make your mom and dad happy. You can't say La ilaha illallah because you can get married to that Muslim girl that you want to marry. You can't say La ilaha illallah because it is going to bring you some sort of benefit or some sort of status in the eyes of the people, or because you want to get a job in a Muslim country or whatever it is. La ilaha illallah, you have to say it with ikhlas, with sincerity, for it to be accepted. Now that doesn't mean that a person can't go from this to the other. So we get some people who they become Muslim for the sake of marriage, they become Muslim for the sake of the job, they become Muslim for the sake of the dunya, and yet they change. And Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he mentions about some of the companions that when they first entered into Islam, their reasons for entering into Islam perhaps were not purely simply to do with ikhlas or to do with sincerity for Allah Azza wa Jal, but the sun did not set upon the day until Allah and His Messenger were more beloved to them than the dunya and what was in it. And we saw this on the day of Al-Fatih, on the day of the conquest of Makkah. Some of the companions, they became Muslim on the conquest of Makkah. They saw the army, they became Muslim. But as soon as they had become Muslim, even if they become Muslim because of the army or to save themselves or whatever it may be, within minutes, within hours, their whole perspective had changed and they had developed that sincerity. So you can develop sincerity for yourself. You can, even if you became Muslim for the wrong reason, you can become Muslim for the, you can change your reason and become Muslim for the right reason. So you have to be sincere, even if that means you change yourself. And every Muslim has to question their sincerity. Just because you think that you've become Muslim for the right reason, you still, or that you were born Muslim and you hold it inside of yourself, the shaitan comes to you and changes your opinions and tries to twist your sincerity. So you have to be sincere for Allah Azza wa Jal. And then you have to have love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the last condition. You have to have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to have absolute love of Allah, and the love of Allah has to be that thing which guides you. And from the people of those who take gods besides Allah, they love them like they love Allah, but those who believe are stronger in love for Allah. So this is our statement, La ilaha illallah. In reality, the whole of Islam comes back to this, and we could talk about it for episode after episode. But this is just a brief understanding, so that next time you say La ilaha illallah, you really mean it, and you really practice it, and you live it. Because being a Muslim is about living La ilaha illallah, not just mentioning La ilaha illallah. And once you understand it, and then you use it in your dhikr, and you say La ilaha illallah, then you will get, inshallah, the full reward for your dhikr and remembrance, because you understand what it means, and you act upon it. That's all we have time for in this episode. In a future episode, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to be talking about the other words, the other phrases we've talked about, subhanallah, and alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, and la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wash all the filth away and change my dead heart. Make me alive again. Give me a fresh start. So change my heart, please. Wash the filth away. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray.
Man kana yu'minu billahi yawmul akhir falyukrim jarahu. Whoever believes in Allah in the day of judgment, you must honor your neighbor even they are not yet Muslim. You should help them. Because everything that is good for us is good for other people. And that's how Islam spread, by good example. Uswatun hasana. Not just by kalam, speech, no, but by good example. Alhamdulillah, with the mercy of Allah, when my mother was bedridden, each time when I have the opportunity to talk to her about Islam, I talk to her. But of course, at the end of the day, we know Hidayah belongs to Allah. But we never give up on anybody. I keep on talking to Imam, especially to elderly people. We must tell them that if they accept Islam, there's nothing for them to lose. But they have a lot to gain. Because only in the teaching of Islam, when a person, a Muslim, passes away, his or her soul will be prayed by the Muslim around the whole world. Every Muslim who makes salah every day will pray for all Muslims who are living and who have passed away. That means billions of Muslims is praying for the soul of the Muslim every single day. So there's nothing for them to worry. Alhamdulillah, When my mom was bedridden, I talked to her. I always make her happy, make her smile, and I invite her to Islam. And she make the shahada, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. The same good news I heard from brother Sheikh Abdul Rahim Green, that all of you are familiar with him. Last year when I was performing Hajj in Makkah, I heard a good news that, no, the father became a Muslim and then the father passed away as a Muslim, mashallah. This is the thing that we want all the brothers and sisters who are Muslim, who are reverted, you know, from kufr to iman, please. You must be proud of yourself to be a Muslim and show good example to your family wherever you are. Don't be afraid to be a practicing Muslim in front of your family, because our people who are not yet Muslim is because they do not know anything about Islam and because nobody is showing them good example. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the strength and give us the iman and sabr, of course. We cannot force anybody, but we can try our best to show them good example, prove to them that I am a better person than before. Meaning, before you're Muslim, you have a different lifestyle, different behavior. Now you're Muslim, so you are changing to have the Islamic character, Islamic adab. I give you an example. Being a Chinese family, raising your voice between children and parents is common. Your mom may shout at you shout at your mom. Your dad may shout at you may shout back to your father, maybe. But after become Muslim, we know even Allah said, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا عُفٍ وَلَا تَنْحَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. A Muslim, you are not supposed to raise up your voice above the voice of your parent, whether it's a mother or father, or anybody who is elderly than you. You must be humble and show kindness to them. You cannot even say, oh, I don't like. You can even say that even what they want you to do is wrong, but you must reply with wisdom, with qawlan layin, qawlun hasana, karima. Mom, I'm sorry, I can't do this. Dad, I'm sorry. Even they're going to shout at you, you don't shout back at them. This is the akhlaq al-Islamiyah. We believe, brother and sister, inshallah, if we follow the Islamic character, inshallah, with the will of Allah, a lot of our sibling, family members who are not yet Muslim, inshallah, at least they will love Islam, they will respect Islam, even they are not yet a Muslim. And of course, at the end of the day, we know Al-Hidayah come from Allah, not from you, not from me. Even our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who loved his uncle, Abu Talib, so much. Because the uncle is a very good man who gave him all the support he need. He never gave up on his uncle until the last minute. Until Allah said to the Prophet, إِنَّكَ لَا تَحْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهُ يَحْدِي مَا يَشَاءُ. O Muhammad, you cannot give guidance to whomever you like. Guidance belongs to Allah. He gives to those who He chose. So our duty, brothers and sisters, be a revert. Always remember, we are not alone. We are just like the companions of the Prophet, who once upon a time were pagan, mushrikeen, and they become a Muslim. The same go to us. Once upon a time, we are pagan, free thinker. But alhamdulillah, now we become Muslim. And now we must think for our family who are not yet Muslim. Feel for them. Because without the right feeling, we cannot get close to them. A Muslim is like a salesman. A da'i is like a salesman. All Muslims are da'i and we are like a salesman. We got to promote our product. Islam have the best product. Inshallah, I believe that when you understand Islam and when you become a practicing Muslim, you can represent Islam better. And may Allah help us. And may Allah strengthen our iman. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa bilahi tawfiqi wa akhir da'wana. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.